CBS Sports Radio.
Into hour number three. I have never been so happy to say that. Into hour number three. Why? Because that means hour number two is over. Never happened. Welcome to the program. My name is Jim Rome. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. A lot to get done this hour. Coming up next segment, the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks, Lloyd Pierce. Your phone number, as you know, is toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada. Wherever you can hear us, 1-800-636-8686. More tough phone calls coming up later on, but as promised, we start this hour by having a conversation with a guard for the L.A. Lakers. He is an NBA champion. He is an NCAA champion. He is a two-team, first-team, all-G-leaguer, an All-American. Played his college ball at Duke. He was undrafted in 2015. He is an executive producer of Basketball County in the Water, which is available now on Showtime, which we will get into. My guest is Quinn Cook. Quinn, there's a lot to talk to you about and a lot regarding the documentary in the current season. But before we get there, let me ask you, how are you and everybody around you doing during this really unusual time, Quinn?
Jim, how you doing, man? Pleasure again being on the show. Big fan always. I'm great. I'm still, trying to take every precaution as possible. Just trying to, still practice social distancing. And my only time being out the house really is going to the gym, going to our facility every day. That's like a field trip for me. I can't wait to wake up and get my 2-3 hours out the house. And my family's good. And, we're still trying to take every precaution as possible.
I feel you. Quinn Cook is joining us. It's great to have you on, and lots to talk about, as I mentioned, Quinn. You know, from the outside, one of the things that seems really obvious about the Laker team is the amazing chemistry that you guys have. How would you describe that chemistry, and then how did you guys stay in touch and maintain that chemistry throughout the shutdown?
I think that's the best part about being on a team is how close everyone is, and it's genuine. It's genuine. It started from, when we all signed and we knew who all was going to be on the team. Bron created a group chat, and ever since then, every single day we communicate. And I think that's what made this season, what has made this season so special, is just genuinely we're just having a lot of fun. Everybody was happy for each other. And obviously winning cares a lot, but it started in the locker room. Obviously during this time, with us not being with each other every day and seeing each other every day, our group chat has been even more active. Guys are, on their phones, more than usual during this time. So we always talking, and it's just something that we always have to hold each other accountable, because when we get back, we still have to have that goal that we had in the beginning of the season in mind, and that's trying to be the best team we could be. So definitely been an unusual time, but our leaders and everybody we're so close together. Our coaching staff checks in with us daily. Front office, management, everybody checks in the organization. And, we've just been trying to still remain together during this time.
Lakers guard Quinn Cook is joining us. He's got a brand new documentary out where he's an EP. We'll talk about that momentarily. So, Quinn, what's your reaction when you hear about the possibility of being at Disney World for a few months to finish off the season? Is that something that kind of excites you, or do you have some concerns about that?
For me, that excites me. I think, that's just a step forward. This country getting back, safer and getting back to the norm. Obviously, we all want to play, and we all want to get back to playing basketball. It's our sanctuary. It's therapeutic for all of us. It's our getaway. But at the same time, still want to be as safe as possible. Still want to, make the right decisions for everybody. And I think the NBA and the league has done a tremendous job of just, making sure our health and safety is the first concern. And, I know guys want to get back to playing, but, I know Adam Silver and the rest of the league is going to make the best decision for everybody's health and not just the players, our families as well. So I think us going to Orlando would be great. It's like AAU all over again. I think we all grew up playing, at the Disney Milk House growing up. So that would be cool. For it just to come full circle and just to get back to playing basketball and just seeing all my NBA guys and just making sure they're okay and It'll be a fun experience if it happens.
Talking to Quinn Cook. Quinn, there's also this argument. I'm not going to make it myself, but there's an argument that you get in some circles that if and when you guys do come back, whoever wins this thing is going to immediately get an asterisk hung right on them. How do you feel about that notion, or might you turn that on its head and say, hey, listen, it's actually harder to win in a year like this?
Yeah, you know, I seen Austin Rivers say it about a month ago that, you know, I think the team who wins it this year, you know, they really deserve it to go through this. Nobody has an advantage. Nobody's been, you know, able to really get into a gym. All the facilities have been closed until recently. Teams haven't been together at all. So, you know, I think for us to stay mentally, you know, in the fight, even though, you know, we haven't had basketball in 2.5 months and haven't been around our teammates in 2.5 months, for us to stay in communication, to stay in the fight, still hold each other accountable, and still take care of ourselves, you know, to prepare to get ready to go back playing basketball, I think is even harder. Obviously, during the summer when you're getting ready for a regular training camp, you have your routine, you have your trainers, you have access to gyms, you know, to come and camp in some kind of shape. Now, you know, gyms haven't been open at all. So I don't think it'll be an asterisk next to whoever wins it. I think, you know, it should be a regular championship. I'm not going to say we should appreciate this championship more than others, but, you know, to go 3 months, 3.5 months, however long it takes to get back playing without, you know, practicing, playing, and being around your teammates, you still have to stay in the fight, you know, through a tough time. So whoever wins it this year, you know, really deserves it.
He is a guard for the L.A. Lakers, also the executive producer of Basketball County in the Water. It's available now on Showtime. In fact, why don't we talk about the doc right now? What this is, Quinn, it's about Prince George's County, Maryland, where you grew up. So let me start right there. What was life like growing up in PG County?
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun for me. You know, you had a mix of everything. It's one of the, you know, wealthiest, predominantly black counties in the world, obviously it has you know, your rough areas, your poverty areas. So you had the best of both worlds. Sports wise, you know, we have, you know, a lot of basketball players come out. You have a lot of football players, boxers, and just a lot of athletes. So that was fun, just being around, just, you know, so many sports. And as for basketball is the biggest culture. It gets the most love, you know. I think it's the most paid attention to sport in our area. So I had a lot of guys to, you know, look up to, who I can go touch, and a lot of people who I could watch on TV who was from, you know, our county. And all the guys that I grew up idolizing, you know, from our area, they always came back and gave. It wasn't like we had to reach out to them as younger players. All the older players who I idolized, they always came back and gave us game and advice and gave us the blueprint to make it. So for me, like, it was fun growing up, meeting people who I still, you know, call family and brothers to this day at a young age, and just watching everybody reach their dream. It's been an ultimate great feeling for me.
Quinn Cook joining us. It's amazing. Now, for those who don't really know what we're talking about here, Quinn, we're talking about guys, an area that produced guys like Kevin Durant, Michael Beasley, Victor Oladipo, the Grant brothers. I mean, this list goes on and on and on. When you come up like that and you're surrounded by talent like that, how much does that inspire you, and what were those battles like?
Those battles were the best. Those battles were the best. I think you know, that's what made our growing up so special. I know for me, you know, idolizing KD and Nolan Smith and, you know, Calvin Cage and Beasley, Jerry Jack, Jeff Green, all those guys that I could see, you know, on a daily basis, they gave me the blueprint. So, you know, growing up, you know, I went to elementary school, middle school, and high school with Victor Oladipo, Jeremy Grant, Jaren Grant, all those guys. So, you know, we had somebody to look to every single day. We always held each other accountable. And we all grew up together, so there was one gym, maybe two gyms that we all could go to. So we always had to see each other and test out, you know, how good we really were. And, you know, it was just fun because that's what made us who we are today. And just growing up hearing stories about the great Len Bias and Walt Williams and DeMar Johnson, Keith Bogans. It was just, you know, just legendary stories that kept us, you know, motivated, you know, to reach our dreams, because it was possible, because guys you know, coming from where we come from, did the same thing. So I think the blueprint was already laid early, and all we had to do was just follow it.
Quinn Cook is joining us. Adrian Dantley also was one of the ultimate ballers. You know, they're from the same area. There's a lot of talk about, like, what a New York player is like or what an L.A. player is like. How would you describe a PG County player? Is there something that separates you guys from everybody else?
Yeah. I mean, I think obviously you can distinguish a person's game where they're from. If you think about a New York player or an L.A. player or a player from North Carolina, anything like that. Obviously, they kind of have the same kind of game. I mean, different positions, but, you know, you could tell. I know a person from a city can tell, you know, another person from that city. Us, I think that we all like have, like, just one-on-one game, like one-on-one moves. I think we're all able to score the basketball. That's, like, big where we're from. I feel like everybody who comes out is able to score a little bit. We have – obviously, everybody, you know, has a toughness to each other about just everybody and just that pride of our, you know, hometown and the guys from my hometown. But, you know, I just think we have a mixture of everything. We can play one-on-one. We can shoot a little bit. Got to lock in defensively. And we just have that aura about ourselves that we don't feel like we're better than anybody. But just for our names, our county to be mentioned with the big cities and big states and stuff, that means a lot to us because our county doesn't have a million people, so that means a lot as well.
Quinn Cook joining me for a few more moments. You know, Quinn, they don't just hand out EP titles and documentaries to show up on Showtime. You were in this thing. Your involvement in documentaries and film goes way back, actually. There's a story about when you were at Duke, you interviewed Spike Lee after seeing him at Madison Square Garden. How did that conversation come to be, and what do you remember about the interview?
I was in a documentary class, and one of my favorite movies was Malcolm X, Spike Lee, and I was writing a paper on that. And we go up to Madison Square Garden, Duke versus Michigan State. It was the game that Coach K passed Bobby Knight my freshman year, and me and my academic advisor were real close, Kenny King. So we're at the game. Obviously, Spike's at the game, and we're walking in at halftime, and my academic advisor was just like, yo, like, there goes your boy, like, you should go talk to him. I'm like, all right, cool. So we come out of halftime before we warm up for the second half, and I just go straight to him. Spike, my name's Quinn, you know, big fan. You know, my mom's from New York. She's, like, one of your biggest fans ever. You know, I would love to talk to you. I'm actually writing a paper, you know, on your Malcolm X movie. He was like, perfect, cool, like, you know, I love your game. You know, I've heard your story. Here's my email. He gives his email to my academic advisor. So, you know, we email him right after the game. He emails us right back. And I want to say this was a Tuesday. And I want to say he was in Durham that Friday. He came to an early practice. We had an early practice. He flew to Durham. And he watched his practice, got to talk to coach for a little bit. And after practice, I got to interview him. He allowed me to interview him for about an hour. And, you know, it was about the movie, about, you know, Denzel's role and how he transformed himself into Malcolm. And just different questions on different movies that he's produced and he's been a part of. And then we just started talking hoops. I remember we talked a lot about Kobe. We talked a lot about the Lakers. Obviously, I grew up the biggest Lakers fan, so he was giving me a little stuff about the Lakers. I was talking trash about his Knicks. He gave me some MJ stories, and that was something I'll never forget. And he still remembers that. He still always reminds me of that to this day every time I see him. And he gave me a couple assignments during the interview that, you know, next time I saw him, I had to, you know, I had to be done. He wanted me to read, obviously, Alex Haley's biography on Malcolm X. So I had to read that, and every time he sees me, he always checks in on me. And that was something he didn't have to do, and he made my day. He made my year, actually, and something I still brag on to this day. So I really appreciate Spike for know, for doing that for me.
That's an amazing story. That is a really, really cool story. Quinn, before you go, you mentioned Kobe, so let me just ask you this. I mean, I can't let you go without asking about Kobe. I know how much he meant to you and how special that relationship was for you. In Game 2 of the Finals last year, you hit three threes, and you were absolutely enormous in that win. Sometime later, Kobe saw you and talked to you about that. What did he tell you, and what did that mean to you?
Well, it meant the world. It meant the world. He told me I had big cojones. You know, that's how, that's, you know, if anybody knows Kobe, that's how he talked. And, you know, that meant the world because the year before that, in Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals, you know, I missed, you know, a shot for the game to win the game at the same spot. And, you know, I'm getting killed on social media. This is my first, like, big-time playoff, you know, experience and I don't want to say mistake, but you know, I didn't come through. I felt bad after the game. You know, I remember Steph, you know, he was texting me a lot that night. Just, you know, keep your head up, shoot every shot. Draymond texted me. And I was with Kevin the whole night. I was in his room and we were just talking about adjustments because we were down 3-2. And my mom just texted me like, yo, that's just gonna be a Kobe moment. That's all I would think that night. I just remember, you know, Kobe. You know, his rookie year, 97, playoffs against Utah, three straight air balls. And that's what I just kept replaying in my mind. I just kept replaying that in my mind. Like, it's my Kobe moment. And obviously, he's my idol. He's my favorite player growing up. So, you know, that was my motivation. So, for me to hit three threes the next year in the finals, you know, at the same spot, you know, that was big for me. And, you know, I just always replaying my mind. Like, that's my Kobe moment. This is my Kobe moment. And then for him to acknowledge that, like the next time I saw him, you know, that meant the world to me because, you know, obviously, you know, he's everything to me and everything to basketball. So for him to acknowledge that, because I didn't even tell him that, you know, I was thinking about him in that moment. But you know, for him to acknowledge me in that moment to because he knows how much, you know, he means to me. That meant a lot, and you know, that made my entire life, and it's. Obviously, the last time we really got to break bread and speak, and I'll cherish that moment forever.
Quote, that made my entire life. Quinn, you've had an amazing basketball life already. Fact is, NBA champ, NCAA champ, two-time first-team All-G-Leaguer, All-American, undrafted out of Duke, and now an EP, executive producer of Basketball County in the Water. It is available on Showtime. Quinn, I'm glad you and I could come together like that. Congrats on the doc. It's great. Really good to have you on the show. Let's make sure you guys get back to work and we can do it again.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it always, Jim. Thanks for having me.
That was fun, Quinn. Good job. Really well done. Quinn Cook, LA Lakers point guard. All right, hope you enjoyed that. He held that beautifully. When we come back, I'm going to roll that right into a conversation with Atlanta Hawks head coach Lloyd Pierce. See what I mean, clones? You have last hour. And all the imbecility that happened. And then you get a quality interview like that. You tell me what's better. Now, you know what? Don't. Don't. Because I know what some of you think is better. Oh my God, look at this dope. Is he really on hold again? Parody Larry's back for more. Larry, hang up the... Just hang up, Larry. That's the closest I've come to a four-letter bomb on this show in a number of years. Just hang up, Larry. In fact, let me do it for you. Larry, the phone did not disconnect. I just hung up on you without putting you on the air. I spared you more humiliation. I got to get out of here. Lloyd Pierce is next.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
David from Buffalo. Those smack up videos look amazing. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. My thanks to Quinn Cook. If you're on hold, I will have time on the back end for telephone calls. Stay there. We're talking more NBA. We are joined right now by the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks. He is in his second season with the Hawks. He spent the previous five seasons with Philadelphia. He is a member of the USA basketball coaching staff. Of course, I'm talking about Lloyd Pierce. Lloyd, it's so good to have you back. There's a lot that I want to talk to you about. But before I do anything else, let me ask you how you and your wife and your daughter and everybody around you are in the middle of this pandemic. Lloyd, how is everything?
Jim, I appreciate you having me on. Thanks for asking. We're doing well. I'm here in Atlanta, sitting out on my front yard. Hopefully it's not too noisy. But the wife is well. Baby girl is almost 22 months, and it's been a great opportunity just to spend some time with her during the pandemic. You know, we're all trying to get through this the same way and have to find a silver lining, and that's it for us is the family time.
Now, she's just 22 months, Lloyd, but I know that you were watching The Last Dance with your baby girl. She might be a little bit too young to appreciate it herself, but what did you make of that series?
You know, it's amazing. She learned the word Michael Jordan. She knows how to
Great.
Say it, so I appreciate that. You know, for me, it was a trip back down memory lane. You know, I'm a big Jordan fan. I grew up on Jordan. I grew up on Magic Johnson. I grew up on 90s basketball. To revisit that, and to really realize how different the NBA is from that time period was fun to watch. And it was fun to share with our guys, our team, because the game's just different now. It's a different approach. You know, the practices, the lack of access that, you know, obviously we had the access to watch that video, but that's such a rare thing for that time period. Whereas now it's just access to everything. Social media is access to everything. But that wasn't the case back then. So to see some of that footage and to know the things that were going on, it just seems like a new story that we didn't have access to back then. So I was fascinated watching it. I loved it.
It was fascinating. Really compelling. Lloyd Pierce joining us. It feels like there is momentum growing now for the season to return at some point in the coming months. So what kind of thoughts do you have when you think about resuming this season?
You know, Jim, we're in a weird spot. You know, we're such a young team. I knew when I took this job that we were going to be on a timeline of growth and really trying to build this organization from our roster up. And it was going to take time. And one of the things that's really valuable for us is games played. All five of our main guys, our top five, I call them the core five, you know, John Collins, Trey Young, Kevin Herter, Cam Reddish, and DeAndre Hunter, you know, integral part of what we're doing here. All of those guys are averaging double figures, and they're all 3 years or less, and for the most part, 2 years or less. And, you know, the beauty of what we're seeing here in Atlanta is they're getting game experience, and they're going to grow a little bit faster than most young guys are able to because of that game experience. And so we are dying to play. We need to play. It's important for the long-term growth of this organization and for those guys specifically. And that's we miss it, and we need the opportunity to play basketball. And we really hope that we can resume and we can be a part of it. But our situation is different than every other team in the league because of our youth. So there's so many arguments, there's so many logistics and things to worry about. We want to just worry about what we can, and that's trying to provide the best opportunity for our young guys, which is to resume basketball and to be able to play again.
Atlanta Hawks head coach Lloyd Pierce is joining us. You're so right. Everybody's got a different situation. Now, when you and I spoke last year, we talked about the games in Cherry Park back in the day. I mentioned I just had Quinn Cook on the show. He talked about growing up in PG County, Maryland, and all the competition that was around him. How valuable was it for you to grow up in a spot where you would show up to the courts and you had to fight? I mean, battle for everything against really good competition on the way up.
You know, the beauty of sport is competition, and I don't care what sport we're talking about. That's the thing I miss the most as a player is just that ability to compete. It said something about you when you were in junior high and you can go to the park, and it was all, you know, college players, the grown men, and you were able to earn your keep. And, you know, and if you weren't ready, you weren't able to get back on the court. And so there was just something about that feeling that when you left that day, and you stayed on the court multiple games because you were winning or because you were respected. Like, that's a good feeling. That's a real good feeling as a competitor, and you want that feeling more and more. I think that's a huge part of our sport. I think that's a huge part of what is really important in all of sport. It teaches so many lessons, and it's valuable. And I – try and preach that, or you try and express it, you try and talk to guys about it, there's nothing like competition. And, you know, I'm glad Quinn was able to get through what he was able to in PG County and everybody, wherever they grew up. But everybody has their own take on competition and what that means to them. That's the greatest thing we have in sport, is the ability to compete, to take on challenges and to overcome challenges. I love it.
Talking to Atlanta Hawks head coach Lloyd Pierce. I love hearing that. You know, Lloyd, I really enjoyed the conversation you and I had last summer. And the reason for that, we didn't just talk basketball. We talked about life. And I bring that up because in the wake of a police officer killing George Floyd, you posted a photo of yourself on Instagram with the caption, and I quote, "There is an appropriate fear being a black man in America. Feeling safe, protected is not an option for me. To think justice for Floyd could easily be justice for Lloyd, and it's because we look alike. To those who discredit our existence, we are recycling hashtags and protest to no avail." End of quote. What kind of thoughts and emotions have you had since the killing of George Floyd by police officers?
You know, it's an emotional one, to be honest with you. What a tough week this has been for me personally, for African American men, and I really think for our country. It's not right. I think the incident that happened in New York, where the man at the Bird Park brought out his camera, and the incident that occurred, where the lady accused him of assaulting her in a park and premeditated the accusation, was the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life as a black man. It's literally like watching someone accuse you of something and then having the power to make it happen. And that's the reality. And the very next day you wake up and the reality is a man was killed for no reason. And so when you put the two together, you're afraid that you've become a threat just for the skin of your color. And then the reality is, because of the skin of your color, there's an opportunity, there's a chance that your life can be taken. And so I posted that picture and I zoomed in on my face, and I had to explain this to a lot of people. If I zoom out, you say, "Oh, that's Coach Pierce." When you zoom in, you just see my face and you just see a black man. And I become just that, just the black man. And a black man is in fear right now. And so it's been an extremely tough week for me personally, because of just that. I'm not an NBA head coach. I don't have any privilege. I am a black man, and that's not going to go away. The NBA head coach could. The fear of being a black man could go away. But it isn't. It hasn't. And right now, it's at its worst point. And so I this has been a very tough and emotional week for me personally.
Agreed. Lloyd, I want to make one more point, too. I want to read part of your post again so the people can really hear it and take this in. Quote, "To think hashtag justice for Floyd could easily be hashtag justice for Lloyd, and it's because we look alike to those who do discredit our existence." And you did just touch on this, but what does it feel like to know that hashtag could have your name instead of his?
Well, I think sometimes you say the reality is it could happen. I think it's almost at this point the inevitable. This is no longer a one-off. It hasn't been for a while. It isn't a one-off. You know, these aren't just happening randomly. These are happening often. These are happening consistently. You know, the last one just happened to be in Minnesota, and the next one could happen in Atlanta or could happen in LA. I don't know. And who knows who it's going to be, but it's no longer just the reality. It's almost an inevitable that it's going to happen. And that's why I put the tag. You know, it's not just because we have similar names. It's because we are black, and to some, that's all it needs to be, and that's what's scary.
He is a member of USA Basketball's coaching staff, of course, the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks. This is a conversation we had to have, continue to need to have. Second season with the Hawks. Lloyd, I appreciate you. I appreciate you. I appreciate your thoughts. I appreciate you coming on this program, and I appreciate having that conversation with you, Lloyd. Thank you so much, and let's do it again soon.
Jim, you got it. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you, too. Thank you very much, Coach. Lloyd Pierce joining us. All right, we will take a short timeout. Powerful comments from him, and I agree. We will come right back. One final segment next. We have time for your phone calls on the back end if you'd like to react to it. 1-800-636-8686. That is the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks, Lloyd Pierce. Time now for a sports update. Here it is. Jacob in NorCal with the pump back. We're talking about videos to promote, to hype, to get you involved, for you to call your shot for the smack off. And you're running out of time. Not only to get qualified for the event itself, the big dance, but also for your videos. Send them to smackoffvideos@gmail.com. Again, my thanks to Lloyd Pierce, the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks. I thought he had extremely powerful and poignant comments. And I'm so glad that he came on. I'm so glad we had that conversation. And we will always have that conversation on this program. To that point, Juan Rivera tweets this. Thank you, Lloyd Pierce and Jim Rome, for taking a stand in addressing social injustice. This is a critical issue that transcends sports. To the knucklehead clones who are inevitably tweeting right now telling you to stick to sports, STFU, and listen to Coach Pierce. Once again, extremely powerful comments made by the coach. Also in his social media posts. Billy in Michigan says, I hope that you post that last segment of that interview. Powerful truth that I would love to share. 1-800-636-8686. If you want to tweet about what you just heard, it's not too late. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. If you want to email about what you just heard, rome@haveatake.com, you should do that as well. If you want to call about what you just heard, the telephone number is toll free. 1-800-636-8686. Earlier today, I had called out to watch listers and golden ticket holders and said, you got to get busy. You're running out of time. Right now, I have a watch lister and a golden ticket holder, both on hold. So I called out to them. They called back. Let's do it. Jeff in SoCal. He is the watch lister. He has been trying as hard as anybody to get the golden ticket. He knows. Jeff knows there's $5,000 to the winner. He's trying to get off that watch list to get the golden ticket. One good call might put him over the hump. Let's find out. What's up, Jeff?
Rome, hey, one in, one out, right? Hey, Chris in Toronto, he reminds me of when I asked my Nana how Bridge Club was. And instead of just saying it was good, she goes on a 20-minute tangent about her drive to the rec center. This guy makes DA look concise and to the point. Hey, quite the electric player profile yesterday on Cal in Vegas. Jim, it's so weird. You don't usually see a guy of his stature rock so much vitriol and disdain for other, more successful people. If only there was a name for this. Oh, that's right. Little man syndrome. Way to stay true to your brand, Calvin. Hey, Jim, speaking of people who struggle with the English language, I'm glad you addressed the lack of Sarah T in the jungle today. I think we're all looking forward to her call. We will finally answer the question on everyone's mind. Is Sarah T thirsty enough to carry a five-minute phone call? Now, a lot of people don't know this, Jim, but it's actually not her first smack-off call. That's right, Jim. She was in the background of Jim and Fall River's call circa 2001. You remember that, Rome? She was in the background yelling, hee-haw, hee-haw. Hey, Stuckner knows what I'm talking about. And finally, Jim, the last dance is over. I think ESPN has milked that cow dry. My biggest takeaway is that Jordan is the hero LeBron will never be. Jordan drinks Miller Lights and smokes stogies pregame. He gambled his dad's life away, overcame personal tragedy to win a championship. Jordan looked for reasons to hate people. LeBron looks for reasons to flop. I will say, though, that backstory of the flu game when five guys showed up to deliver a pizza, it's a little suspicious. I mean, five guys doing the job of one person. What is this, Left and Laguna smack-off script? Unwore JJ and KC trying to get me to the Omaha Jungle Open. In the words of Nick Saban, I'm not going, so quit asking. Out.
Jeff in SoCal. You know, Jeff, I got to admit, like, I'm amused. I really am. Just not enough to put you in yet. I'm going to need another good call. Saying things like Jordan gambled his father's life away is not going to get you into the smack-off. Unless you can prove a statement like that, you know, that theory that it was his gambling that got his father killed. No, it was not. That was not a gambling debt. It was a case of his father being asleep on the side of the road in his car, and absolutely one of the most horrific cases of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's what that was. That was not him gambling his life away. So that type of thing's not going to get you in. Neither is calling Sarah a donkey, which is what you just also did. That's not getting you in either. So keep trying, Jeff. Speaking of which, I mentioned I had a watch lister on hold. I mentioned I had a golden ticket holder also on hold. And what do you know? There she is, right on cue. Isn't that convenient? Let's go to Providence. Sarah T. Unlike you, Jeff, she already has a golden ticket. We go to Providence. Sarah T., what's going on? How are you?
Jim, don't worry about Jeff. Hee-haw. Hee-haw always calls me that. So, listen, after my last hilarious call about Bobby Brady, I got to thinking, Jim. I mean, not only did he narc out his own friends and family, but he faked having cancer just to get Joe Namath to show up. Who does that? And then Joe Namath shows up, and I think he told Alice he wanted to kiss her in that episode, but we won't go there. And here I thought Don Drysdale showing up to mentor Greg was ridiculous. Anyway, Matt and Van, I'd like you to keep my name out of your mouth. Jim, Matt thinks he's the big man on campus. He's the Corey Hart of the jungle, except he doesn't wear his sunglasses at night, Jim. He wears his bear goggles at 2 a.m. And it's so funny Jeff brought up a donkey, because Canadians, you know, this is leading to Canadians. They're so annoying. Bella B., man, she has sent more pictures of her ass to people than an online donkey salesman. Anyway, Jim, if I don't make it to the smack-off, I can always take it to next.
You know what the amazing thing is, Sarah? You're still in the running. You still have your golden ticket. The incredible thing is, Jeff, you don't have one, and she still does. Sarah T., you know why? She made me laugh. Crazy Sarah T. Wacky Sarah T. All right, so we live and learn, and we have another day in the books, and she made it. Like, Sarah T. jumped the day. I don't need her to call every single day. I just need you, if you have a golden ticket, to call and defend it, re-earn it. Chris in Toronto tried. You know, as Jeff said, one in, one out. You got half that, right? One out. One still not in. One still not in and one out. Chris lost his. If you're keeping score at home, Chris had a ticket. He lost it. Jeff wanted a ticket. He didn't get it. Sarah's got a ticket, and she kept it. Man, what a day we had today. And Parody Larry got run twice in the same day. Stucknut went to the archives, and jungle historian Stucknut, Stephen H. Town, says nobody has ever been run three times in the same day in the history of the program. Larry somehow found his way back into the rotation and wants an attempt or wants a chance to set a record that would never be broken. You're not getting it, Larry. Larry, I already hung up on you off the air. How do you call back? What Larry did today to me is akin to what Johnny Vandermeer did. Johnny Vandermeer had back-to-back no-hitters. You know, if you're really good or really lucky or both, you can tie that mark. It's not inconceivable that somebody might still go back-to-back with no hitters. Nobody's going to go back-to-back-to-back with no hitters like you, Parody Larry. And believe me, you're dope enough, and dope in a bad way, not a good way. You definitely have the game to do it. I'm just not going to let you. I'm going to protect you from yourself, Lawrence. That's a record that should never be broken. That's not happening. It's a weird week and a short week, and just like that, we're up on Friday, and you are running out of time. That means Smack Off 26. When I finish this segment, we'll then be 21 days out. That clock is spinning so fast. 21 days is not 21 shows, and you are really running out of time. So think about it overnight. Do you want in tomorrow? What are you going to say? What are you going to do to get that golden ticket? If you've got a golden ticket, what are you going to do to keep that golden ticket? If you have a golden ticket, what are you going to do to get me to want to take your call on that day? Because believe me, the people who've already won are going to get on the air. Those who've already finished in the top five are going to get on the air. I'm going to do what's best for the show that day. I'm going to take the best calls there are that day. It's incumbent upon you to put yourself in a position where you look like you'll be one of the best on that day. And why do you care? Because you want to win $5,000. That's why you care. Why do you care? Because you want the legacy that comes along with it. We've done the Smack Off 25 times, and there have only been 14 winners. Only 14 people have done what you're trying to do. That's some legacy stuff right there. So keep it in mind. Get your rest, man. Rest. Recover. Fuel your body and mind with the right stuff. And then take your shot tomorrow. Shoot your shot tomorrow. This segment's brought to you by Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges and helps if you need to fix them. Eno, another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you are not Capital One. What's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details. My thanks to Mark Stein, Quinn Cook, and Lloyd Pierce. The XR4TI, the Friday edition coming up tomorrow. See you then. We're out.